Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We've been learning about the power of the balanced person. The more we learn about the balanced person, the more we realize how critical this area of life is. Why to keep giving examples? Because when we speak about balance, it's so vague that it means absolutely nothing. Everyone has their own scale and their balance in their own systems. So everyone's balanced in their mind. So if we don't give specific examples of what is considered balanced, we would be doing nothing more than just spinning wheels that are not going anywhere. So I want to give you another example of balance. We spoke about the balance of azut, of being bold and having busha. We say how Shulchan Aruch, first halacha, Shulchan Aruch says, be careful. You have to have boldness in your life. People are going to mock you. You have to be strong. Stand up to them. The Mishnah Berurah over there says, the words of the Mishnah Berurah over there says, Ve'al kol panim lo yitkotet imahem. He says, even though Shulchan Aruch says to be bold, to those people who are mocking, he says, but don't fight with them. Mepene shemidat ha'azut meguna me'od. Because the characteristic of azut, of stubbornness, of brazen, of boldness, is a very bad midah. Ve'en ra'uy lehishtamesh mimena klal. You should never use it. Afilu ba'avodat Hashem yitbarach. Which means if you absolutely need it, to ignore them, you have to be bold. But don't fight with them. Don't go start having all kinds of fights in all of its different ways. Don't do that. Because you're going to acquire, it's one thing to ignore them and they shouldn't stop you from doing good. That much azut you need to have. But to go and start fighting with them, he says, now you're going to acquire this midah. Ki yikne kinyan benafsho lihiyot az. You're going to fight with people in the name of doing the right thing. You're going to acquire this characteristic of being an az, of being this bold, stubborn person. And it's going to become part of you even shelo bimkom avodato yitbarach. Which means you're using it to argue with them about what's right and wrong. To fight with them about good and bad. But if you're not careful, if you use it even for the good, it'll start becoming who you are, and you'll start becoming that way even in other things. It's an interesting thing. We learned how being bold is important, critical to grow in life, because people are going to mock you, they're going to try to stop you. You got to be bold. Shulchan Aruch. But says the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Beit Yosef, be careful. Don't go more than you have to, even in that area. Ignore them. You need enough azut to ignore them. But don't now start fighting with them. Because the fight will make this midah such a part of you that now you'll start using it in times and areas with people that are not relevant to doing good things. You'll become that kind of person. Aspanim legeinam. It'll start becoming who you are. See, even when you're doing good, be careful how much azut you need, take. But don't go more. This is the Mishnah Berurah. Which leads us to the Bi'ur Halakha over there. The Hafetz Chaim has a very important ma'amar in Bi'ur Halakha on this subject. We're going to get back to it later. But it is the springboard for this class. The Pasuk in Zechariah says, famous Pasuk, Ko Amar Hashem Sevaot. The following Hashem says, Soma Revi'i, the fast of the fourth month, we call it Shiva Asar Betamuz, 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av. Vetzoma Hamishi, the fast of the fifth month. Fifth month is Av, Tisha B'Av. Vetzoma Shevi'i, and the fast of the seventh month. Som Gedalia, the day after Rosh Hashanah. Vetzoma Asiri, the fast of the tenth month. Tenth month is Tevet, Asara V'Tevet. Those fasts that are all in commemoration of destruction that took place in our nation. Says the Pasuk in Zechariah, Yihyeh lebet Yehuda, these fasts will become for the Jewish people, lesason u'simcha, there will be days of happiness, u'lmo'adim tovim, there will be holidays. Ve'ha'emet ve'ha'shalom ehavu. He says, and love truth and love shalom. Love peace. The last three words in this pasuk seem to be completely out of left field. Nothing to do with anything. So the Pasuk is talking about how the fast days that are commemorating tragic events are going to become holidays. Okay, very nice. Great prophecy. What does the last three words have to do with anything? And you should love Emet and you should love Shalom. The Mefarshim explain that Hashem is telling our people this prophecy is legitimate, it's real, it will happen, but it needs two conditions to turn a terrible moment to a great moment. I assume it's not only on these 4 days. I assume this is a proper hashkafa. Hashem is giving us over clarity in how life a person can turn a dark moment to a moment of light. We have dark moments in our lives. It's part of the reality of this world. When a person is in a dark moment, they want to bring light into their lives. Says the Pasuk, two conditions. Imagine, you only need two conditions. To turn darkness to light. Ha-emet, you have to love emet. Something, not just be emet, to love it. And you have to love shalom. You have to love shalom, peace. If you love emet and you love peace, this is your tunnel out of the darkness. Beautiful. What an item. When we talk about emet, We talk about what Hazal tell us, that Emet is the Hotam, is the stamp of signature of the Creator. If Hashem had to sign His name on a letter, what would He sign? What would He write? You would write Aleph Mem Tam. Emet seems to be such an essential part of who Hashem is that it's His signature. Torah warns us, Middevar Sheker Tirhak. Unlike normal commandments, where the Torah would say, don't be a person of falsehood. Lo tiyeh ish sheker. Don't be sheker. Don't talk sheker. Here, Torah says it in a very unusual manner. Middevar sheker, from something that is false, tirhak.
Stay away.
Not just don't be a person of falsehood, stay away from it. Like when something is smelly and horrible to look at, you go far away from it. You're not even close to it. Forget touching it. Forget eating it. It smells. It's horrible. So you want to be far away from it. Middevar sheker tirhak. That's how the Torah warns us about falsehood. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Adonai Hatzila Nafshi, Hashem save me, Misefat Sheker, from language, from words of falsehood. I should be a person of Emet. Emet is not only being honest in business. Emet is not only being honest with our words. But actually, Emet is a way of life. There are people whose whole life is based on Emet, which means whenever they need to make a decision, they have a consultation with Emet. How do I raise my son? How do I raise my daughter? Well, what does Emet say? How do I go? How do I not go? What do I do? What do I not do? What do I say? What do I not say? Great people, they're always consulting Emet. They want to know what Emet has to say on this subject. So it's bigger than just saying the truth and being honest. It's a life of Emet. It's a life where Emet leads the way. The light of truth leads the way in what I say, in what I do, how I react. In all areas of life, it's a whole different way of life. Most people, when they live their life, they live according to what they want. According to what they consult their own mind, their own emotions, and they decide things. That's how most people live. Should I go somewhere? Well, do I want to? That's it. But there are great people in the world that they consult Emet. They let Emet lead the way. Emet is the foundation of a great person. I once told you that I don't fully understand what I'm about to tell you, but I understand it's something very, very powerful, is that we know that Emet is Aleph Mem Tav, which adds up the numerical value to 441. 441, if you add 4 plus 4 plus 1, 9. The number 9 is the number of Emet. Sheker is 600, which adds up to 6. 6 plus 0 plus 0, 6. The number of Sheker is 6. Emet is 9. Sheker is 6. The number 9 is the only number, all numbers, that no matter how many times you multiply it, you're always going to get back to 9. Meaning, Emet, no matter how much Emet you have, it's always Emet. 9 times 1 is 9. 9 times 2, 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. 9 times 3, 27. 2 plus 7, 9. Time times 4, 36. 3 plus 6, 9. No matter what number, any number you could think of, that you times by 9, Emet is Emet. It doesn't change. It's absolute. Emet in any life situation is Emet. The only number that no matter how many times you multiply it, it's Emet. Beyond that, every word in the Hebrew language, the number 9 is at the root of every Hebrew word. Because every Hebrew word translates into a number. In Hebrew, the letters have names and they have a numerical value. So every word in the Hebrew language has a numerical value. The numerical value, the base of every single word in the Hebrew language is 9. Any word is going to have a base number 9. Because every word, when you turn it to a number, that number will always have a foundation of 9. 376. Okay, where do we see the... What do you see 9 in 376? No, 9. Where's 9 in 376? Here goes. Take 3 and 7, 10. And 6, 16. 1 plus 6, 7. So far, so good? Now, take this number 7 and minus it from 376, the original number. Take the number 7, which was the total, minus it from 376, 369. Now, let's add 369. 9 plus 6 plus 3 is 18. 1 plus 8?
9.
9. Take any number you want, any number you want, if you do that formula,
come out to 9.
You always come that you keep condensing, condensing, you get up to 9. 400. 4 plus 0, 0 is 4. 400 minus 4 is 396. 9 plus 6 plus 3 is 18. 1 plus 8, 9. Hazal say that when Hashem created the world, He used, fundamentally, He used 3 letters every day of the creation. Again, I don't know fully what that means, but it's okay. I understand it means something. He used 3 letters every day. We know that the alphabet is 22 letters. So if you use 3 letters a day, that's 7 times 3 is 21. One letter is going to
be out.
So simply, the way it would have happened, if we would do it, which letter would be out? The last one, Tav. By the time you get the Tav, you're already done. You have 7 days. But the Hazal say, no. that Hashem created the world, but instead of starting with Aleph Bet Gimel, that would have been the first day, he started Bet Gimel Dalet. He skipped the Aleph. He started from two. Bet, Bereshit, from Bet. So he started with Bet Gimel Dalet. 2, 3, 4, day one. Day two is 5, 6, 7. Day 3, 8, 9, 10. Yud. Right? All of that. Till you get to Tav. What's interesting is, if you will do the math of every day, if you look at Bet Gimel Dalet, day one, is 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, and 4 equals 9. If you go to the second day, right, he used He, Vav, Zayin. 5, 6, 7. 5, 6, 7 equals 18. 1 plus 8, 9. You go to the third day, he used, right?
It's already
Het, Tet, Yud. Het, Tet, Yud adds up to 27. 2 plus 7 is 9. You go to Chaf, Lamed, Mem. Same story. Every one of the 7 days, the number will add up to 9.
No.
Aleph is gone. Didn't make it to the cut. Now, what would have happened if Hashem would have started the conventional way? He would have started Aleph Bet Gimel. The first day would be 6 Shekin. Aleph Bet Gimel would be 6. Next day would be Dalet Vav Hevav. 4, 5, 6 is 15. 1 plus 5, 6. The third day would be Zayin Hetet. 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9 equals 24. 2 plus 4 is 6. The whole 7 days, if you add it up, you'll see 6. If Hashem would have made the world with Aleph as the first, it would have been a world of Shekin.
Wow.
Started with Bet. Bet makes the base of this world. Emet is the foundation of the great person. When a person is Emet, he's connected to the world in a real way. That brings him power and tremendous like. Anyway, this is a story with Emet. That's why the Pasuk says, Ha'emet ve'ashalom ehavu. Love Emet. Love chasing Emet. Love knowing the Emet. Love learning the Emet. Love living the Emet. You have to love it. When you love it, you'll be able to understand it and live by it. That's why the Mishnah says in Perkei Avot, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rabban Shimon said, Al shlosha devarim ha'olam omed. On 3 things the world stands. Al adin, ve'al ha'emet, ve'al ha'shalom. Emet and shalom are the foundations of the great person. We also have to love shalom. There were 2 conditions, remember. To go from darkness to light, 2 conditions. One is emet. The other one is shalom. Shalom is, Hazal tell us, gadol shalom. Ah, shalom is great. So great is shalom. Shelo bara hakadosh baruch hu mida yafa kemo hashalom. There's nothing more beautiful that Hashem created, this midah, a measurement. No greater measurement that Hashem made in this world than shalom. And the Midrash continues to explain, Gadol hashalom, greatest shalom. That when Hashem gave Avraham Avinu good news, he told him, Be'ata tavol avotecha b'shalom. You will go to your fathers with shalom. We know the famous Mishnah in the end of Shas, Masechet Oksin, the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Halafta, Lo Matza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kelim Mahzik Tova LeYisrael, Ela Shalom. Hashem was looking for a vessel that's able to hold goodness. He's looking for the Jewish people. What would be the best vessel that he can give them? Imagine a person just moved into his new house and you want to buy him a vessel so that he could use it and enjoy it and hold important things. Maybe you get him a nice bottle, a fancy bottle to put his wine in. Maybe you get him a nice platter, a nice plate to put his food in. Hashem wanted to give the Jewish people a vessel that's going to be able to hold in it all the berachot of life. And he's looking which is the vessel that's going to hold the berachot. Oh, and the only one he found, he didn't find two, he found one. Lo matza. He looked and looked and couldn't find one like this one. Which vessel did he find? Shalom. The Shalom vessel is the only vessel Hashem found in this world that's able to hold beracha. Meaning if you don't have Shalom, you could have beracha, but you have nowhere to put it. So in essence, you have beracha, but it has no value. It's like putting wine in a bottle that has a hole in it. They keep pouring wine to you. From Shamayim, they're pouring wine into your life. All kinds of berachot are coming to your life. But they're going down the gutter because you don't have shalom. When there isn't shalom in a home, the berachot that come into the home have nowhere to stay. When a person doesn't have shalom in his relationships, berachot that come into his life have nowhere to stay. Shalom is big. Gadola shalom. Hazal say, Gadola shalom. Great is shalom. Shebirkat kohanim hatuma b'shalom. Birkat kohanim, the beracha from the Torah, that the Kohanim say to Am Yisrael. They say beautiful words there. But how does it end? With shalom. Hashem should give you shalom in your life. Why is that the end? Just like we do by the Amidah. By the Amidah we have some difficulty, at least when it's, you look at it on paper. We know the Amidah is broken up into three pieces. Three parts, excuse me. Beginning of the Amidah is praising Hashem. The first three berachot. Then we have the middle berachot starting with Ata Honen until Shomea Tefillah. It's all our requests. Then we have Hoda'ah to thank Hashem. Atov Shemcha Ucha Na'ele Hodot Modim. All that's very good. But then we end with Sim Shalom. We end with asking Hashem to bring shalom into our life. Sim shalom, tova uvracha. That's a request. What is it doing at the end of the Amidah? Amidah is praise, request, thank. So why are we going back to ask after we thank? Simple answer to this question. That the Amidah is like a city. The Amidah is a world of beracha. A person who knows how to praise Hashem and knows how to ask and knows how to thank has a tremendous koach in this Amidah. Imagine the guy went through the Amidah in the most perfect way with all the heart talking to Hashem. It's a great success, that Amidah. Comes the Amidah and says, but wait, if you don't have shalom, you can praise Hashem in the best way. You can get everything that Hashem gave you. You asked, He gave you. You asked for da'at, he gave you. You wanted Torah, he gave you. Refuah, he gave you. All your prayers were answered. Your entire Amidah from beginning to end is accepted in the fullest manner. But wait, you don't have shalom, you have nothing. Shalom can't be one of the other ones. Shalom is not just another request. Shalom is the father and mother of all requests. Because I can give you everything, and without shalom, you got nothing. All your questions and requests and desires have been answered, but without shalom, you have nothing. You have a keli that doesn't have the ability to hold all the blessings that God will send you. You'll be in misery, even though you have all the blessings that you could ever imagine. That's why we end the Amidah with shalom. We end Berkat HaMazon with Oseh Shalom. Before we go to sleep at night, we Hashkivenu Avinu LeShalom. We ask Hashem to awaken us with shalom. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, describing Hashem, listen to these words. Yotzer Or. Hashem is the one who formed the light. Hashem formed the light and created darkness. Oseh Shalom, he made shalom ubore ra, and he created evil. Notice, the opposite of light is darkness. What's the opposite of shalom? Me and you would say. The opposite of shalom is no shalom, it's conflict. No.
Worse.
No. When Hashem came to describe what the opposite of shalom, he couldn't find a better word than ra.
Evil
destruction. Not the opposite of shalom is what people are fighting. No. It's much worse than that. Ra. Evil is the opposite of shalom. Destruction is the opposite of shalom. That's why it says in Pirkei Avot, Heve mitalmidav shel Aharon, be from the students of Aharon. Ohev shalom verodev shalom. You have to love shalom. And you have to chase it. Because it usually is running away from you. Shalom is not an easy item to accomplish. You have to run after it because many life situations are taking shalom away from you. So you need to pursue it. Just like when you're pursuing someone who's running away from you, you got to pursue him. You can't just wait for him to show up. He's going the other way. You got to run after him. Rodef shalom. You have to run after shalom. Because it's running away from you. The nature of this world is that shalom is not running towards you. It's running away from you. Whether it's in your marriage, with your children, with your partner in business, with your friends, in your shul, shalom is running away. You got to run after it. That's why the great David HaMelech says, Bakesh shalom. You have to look for shalom ve'rotfehu and make sure you chase it, find it, run after it. Running after it means you may have to sacrifice. You may have to give up something. You may have to do things that are not to your best interest. But shalom is a great interest, greater than anything else. Beautiful. That's the story with shalom. We have emet. We have to love the emet. And we have to love shalom. Very big parts of our life to turn dark to light. Darkness to or. This is what a person needs. If a person finds himself in darkness, he's got to figure out these two areas. Am I living with emet and am I living with shalom? two prerequisites for a life of or of light. Question is, and we're not going to do this today, but tomorrow we'll do this. The question is, what happens if these two great values, what if they don't come together? Meaning, what if it will be a choice that you need to make? If you could have both, oh great. Usually you could have both. You can have emet, you could have shalom. You can have emet, you can have shalom. They coexist beautifully in most life situations. But sometimes you may have to choose shalom or emet.
That's like marriage.
What happens when choosing emet will make your relationship not shalom? What happens if you choose shalom and you won't have emet? So what do you do in life situations? What is here the balance between emet and shalom? Does emet win? Does shalom win? How does it work? Because if you don't have the right answer to this question, you're going to get stuck with two great values. And at some point, you may have to choose one over the other. And if you make the wrong choice, you're stuck again in darkness. So this becomes a very big question. What do you do if you have to choose one of the two? Emet, powerful emet. Shalom, powerful shalom. Which one goes ahead of the other one? Have a wonderful day. We'll discuss tomorrow.